Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour, mes amis. Comment ça va? Oh, I hope all ça va beginning tonight. It's Mummy, Sybil Brunson. Yes, I'm Sybil Brunson. I'm coming to you live through Blog Talk Radio Network. We're here courtesy of the Here Be Monsters studio and my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and she's also our sponsor. She's on with us tonight. It's Come Now, Don't Sulk, which we broadcast to you live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Are you in Australia? Is it 8 in the morning there? I'm not sure. I'd have to check my globe. But we are literally podcasting right now all around the world. The wonders of our technology, amazing. Before we start, Gwendolyn, you're on the air, aren't you?
I am. I'm right here.
We normally broadcast to you from the top of the Chrysler Building, the revolving ballroom of the Chrysler Building in the Cafe Berlin. But because of this whole quarantine and the COVID-19 epidemic, we have been broadcasting from our own home studios. So even though you're not seeing us on a Zoom call, darlings, see, Mummy is learning the technology. Isn't it exciting? Zoom calls. Oh, I'm so excited to be able to use these terms so that millennials understand what Mummy is saying. Even though we're not doing a Zoom call with, 12 screens going at once, Gwendolyn is coming to you from Port St. Lucie in Florida, and we'll get to that in just a second. And Mummy is coming to you from the Upper West Side, West End of the 105th, which New Yorkers, by the way, did you just see that hailstorm come through? Oh, my God, it was literally like we had a tornado microburst come through the Upper West Side. We had hail pounding the windows. My beautiful bay windows were being hammered with hail. Fortunately, they didn't. Oh, yeah. Hail blowing sideways and really pounding the windows. Fortunately, they didn't break, although the glass is 100 and some odd years old, 120 years old. But the windows, the good news is the windows are scoured completely clean. I mean, they are literally Windex twinkling right now because the water and the hail was literally not only coming sideways, but eventually was blowing up. It was actually getting into the mullions and scouring out the caulking. I mean, my windows are absolutely twinkling clean. And I want to thank Mother Nature for that because she really did a wonderful job. I tapped on the glass a couple of times, said, no, there's a streak there, Mother Nature. And she took care of it. Every time I tapped and pointed to another pane, Mother Nature said, I will do it, Sybil, because as one girl to another, we want clean windows. We're meticulous. And Mother Nature. Who does windows better than Mother Nature? All right, now, enough of that. No, it was like we had Florida weather for a change. We had lightning cracking and thunder and hail, just like what you have down there all the time in the lightning capital of the world, Florida. How are you doing tonight, Gwendolyn?
Well, Saharan dust storms and all, Republican
yes.
boot nanny. It's actually quite fearful around town. If you go around town and you see all these people out there, what are we up to, 45,000 cases? It's a bit of a fright, Mummy. It's a bit of a fright.
Well, we're going to get I want to talk to that about that tonight because I posted that we're going to discuss this. Florida is in the bullseye of the news headlines this week. They have been heading that way for a couple of weeks, and we'll get to that, but I want to address a couple of things. Before we do that, and I know Gwendolyn will appreciate this, as the founder and head chemistryatrix at daughtersofisis.com, that's daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors, they are our sponsors, and they are the purveyors and the providers of the most extraordinary scents and fragrances. I can't recommend you going to them enough. If you're on your laptops tonight, do check out daughtersofisis.com. That's I-S-I-S, yes, daughtersofisis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Check out their wide, wide array of products and fragrances. It's amazing. Gwendolyn, I think at one point you said you had only, you had over 500 products listed on the website. Is that true?
Yeah, it is actually. Hundreds of collections and oils. Well,
my goodness, you're the Betty Crocker of fragrances. You've got more fragrances than Betty has cookie recipes.
Well, yeah, but let's call it as it is. Betty only had a few things to work with comparatively.
Yes, she had flour and baking soda and baking powder. You've got the most amazing things, essence of hyacinth and, oh my God, turmeric and amazing things. Apropos of that, before we get to talking about politics and quarantines and everything, I want to just mention that every week we ask Gwendolyn for a fragrance that she recommends or an oil that she has come up with that is appropriate for the time we're dealing with. So this week, I believe we're still in Mercury in retrograde, aren't we?
Oh, we are. We are. And I do have a mister for that.
Wait. I love that your voice dropped an octave when you said, oh, we are, we are. Gwendolyn, are we still in Mercury in retrograde? Oh, we are, we are. What is the fragrance you're recommending this week?
Well, this week, mind you, the Merc Retro is a good choice, too, but I definitely, because I have been using it myself, is the our Ayurvedic Quantum Shift, which we've talked about before. It's a very citrus-based. I believe you have it yourself, Mommy.
I did. I wore it yesterday. I wore it yesterday.
I sprayed
it on my collar yesterday.
It's clarifying. It clears, draws the energies away. It shifts us with a more grounded mental acuity. It cleanses the auric field, and it's a healer's tool. But it's a combination of sandalwood with pink grapefruit and white grapefruit. And
I adore grapefruit, and I adore sandalwood.
And there's a little bit of lemongrass in it, and a little bit of artemisia with mugwort. But frankly, it's pretty much the pink and white, the pink grapefruit is the top note on it. There's a lot of that in there. I know that when people smell that kind of citrus with a grounding in it, with that sandalwood and mugwort, it helps to bring a real nice, clear, you know, push it all aside and get on with it kind of scent to it. So I've been using
yes.
that.
It's very invigorating and very refreshing. I love the smell of that Quantum Shift. I love that.
And that's where I would go tonight.
Okay.
I would also say too, a little disclaimer on the deeper quality of my vocals this evening. We can thank the Sahara Desert. It's really you really can feel it. It's breathly challenging.
You don't need to do a disclaimer. The fact that you sound like Tallulah Bankhead is absolutely wonderful right now.
And for those of you who are
too young to know who Tallulah Bankhead is, Google it. Okay, Tallulah Bankhead. You Google her name and you'll find her. Okay, so we're going to go for Quantum Shift, boys and girls, tonight. Do check out the website, daughtersofisis.com. I want to remind you, they are our sponsors every week. But wait, there's more. You, too, can be a sponsor, just like on PBS, by listeners just like you. Thank you. If you are interested in being a sponsor of our Come Now, Don't Sulk broadcast, please contact Gwendolyn Holdenberry on her Facebook page, or you can contact me and find out our highly reasonable rates. You can either do it anonymously, or we can also advertise your own project and products on the air. So just so you know that we are looking for sponsors, and we are eager to have your support, and we want to thank the people who have already supported us anonymously. We actually have had some anonymous support, and we want to thank them, even though they didn't want to be mentioned on the air. We want to thank them very much for their contribution.
I would like to let you know, Mommy, we do have a caller waiting.
Okay. All right, let's take the call, and then we'll get into our subject tonight, because I want to discuss Florida. Yes, who's our caller tonight?
Well,
is it Pamela?
No, it's Camille Beauchamp.
Camille?
Yes, I'm back from my trip.
Camille.
Okay. Yes, dear. Hello. Hello, Mommy.
I'm sorry. I Camille Beauchamp. And you have your fritillaries on your shoulder there.
Yes.
Nice.
Oh,
you
know fritillaries, yes. Yes, I had a stomp on quite a few, though, to get them on the Cape.
How nice. That's nice. Now, that's very nice. In here, I thought they landed on your shoulder and some jokester had come up and slapped you on the back and told you a joke. Okay. How are you tonight, Camille?
I'm fine. Listen, Mommy, have you heard from John at all? I can't seem to reach him.
John is, and this is something that I was going to break the news, John and his partner are going to be moving soon, and we haven't broken the news to everybody yet. And I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's going to cause quite a kerfuffle. A lot of people haven't known, but they are going to be leaving New York City, and they are going to be moving to another part of the country. And we haven't mentioned that yet. It's been a little difficult to get in touch with my nephew because they have been looking for a new home and in a new city.
I see. Well, I just thought he might be mad at me for some reason.
No. My nephew is very, very fond of you, Camille. And even though you also seem to be having a change of life and that vocal cord thing going on.
Yes. It comes and goes. Yes. It's Boston air. You know, Back Bay is very bad. It's right near
Back
the water.
Bay. Camille, what are you working on right now?
Well, I just finished doing a whole slew of puppets for, I had to redo a whole cast of puppets because they got moth-eaten and water-eaten in the basement. So I've done a whole new cast.
Really?
Yes, I'm very eager to start on this new project that I'm supposed to be working on with John.
And that project is coming along. It's just been a little bit in limbo while they get rid of storage spaces and everything and have to pack and move. It's one thing to move from Greenwich Village to the Upper West Side. It's another thing to move from New York City to another city.
I know.
Doing long-distance real estate stuff is so tricky. Looking for an apartment
I've done
online.
It's horrifying. I've done it.
Yes, you have. You moved from New Jersey to North Carolina.
North Carolina, yes, I have. I feel like Judy Canova. It's wonderful.
I have to say that our technology right now allows us to move on the internet. We can look at homes not only online, photographs online, but we can even do little home videos in our telephones so the nice real estate lady in another city can take a walkthrough on her phone and take a video and then email it or message it to us in our own homes 1,000 miles away.
I must tell
you that the first time I looked for an apartment after I left girls finishing school, I had just graduated, and the first apartment I looked at, we had to do by mailed tintypes, and it was very, very difficult to really appreciate the beauty of a home 1,000 miles away with Matthew Brady taking tintypes and then mailing them and having them come by Pony Express 3 weeks later. And, of course, by that time, the home might have been rented, such as it was in a tintype with a dead Confederate soldier, you know, in the living room or the dining room. It wasn't a good way to shop for a new apartment. But we're so lucky now to have things so much easier, don't you think?
I agree. I'm so excited that you're moving.
John is excited that it's a tricky subject because
will you
of
be
course
living
saying
with them?
Goodbye. Saying goodbye is so hard, don't you think?
Oh, no, not when you're from New Jersey.
So much for the
no,
Garden
no, no,
State.
No.
But you did.
No.
You went from the Garden State to the Tar Heel State.
Is that what they call it? I don't know.
Yes,
but,
and I still don't know what that Tar Heel thing is. I'm going to Google it tonight, though. I'm going
oh,
to
I know
sure
what Tar Heel is. I'm sure I know what Tar Heel is. You know that the roads get very hot here, and the tar gets very soft. And so I think if you're walking barefoot, you probably get some tar on your feet.
Oh, my goodness, walking barefoot, it seems inconceivable. Do people do that sort of thing out of doors?
Well,
it's not very hygienic.
I used to do it when I followed the statues, you know, in the parades, but not anymore.
Well, I'm going to keep everyone posted on what's going on with address changes
please.
And everything, but I must do it not in a timely manner, but in a timed manner so that
yes.
we don't cause too much heartbreak or, you know, scandal or because so often people think you're skipping out on bills that you were supposed to pay. embarrassing things, financially embarrassing things like that. Doesn't want to stir up trouble with the local butcher or with the nice flower lady or anything like that. If one has accounts at the finest chocolatiers, one never walks out of those debts. I might not pay my shrink, but I certainly would pay my chocolatier.
Actually, I was going to introduce myself as Lily Emery, but would you know who she was?
I think I do. Would you like
that
to?
That is George in the hard
like
way.
To, yeah. yes. But
I
I'm glad that you're Camille
to
Brochaw tonight. You're a person of so many personalities.
Yes.
It means
cluster or group. My last name means cluster or group, which I take to stand for all of the many personalities in my head. You know.
On the advice of my producer, I only do shows now with a piece of whiskey, as she says. Her mother used to say, let's get us a piece of whiskey. And so Mummy now does her show with a piece of whiskey, which I just swallowed the wrong way because of you, Camille Beauchamp. So I just aspirated my whiskey. My lungs are completely cleared out now with the finest whiskey. Oh.
Well, listen, I don't want to monopolize your time. Can I just listen? Is that how do you do this?
Let's ask the expert, Gwendolyn. How does one stay on listening to the show but isn't on the phone anymore?
I just mute.
Oh no,
that.
I'm on. I can stay on the phone, but I don't want to monopolize you.
Yeah, I just mute you to headphones, and you can hear the show right now if you stay on the phone.
Okay, fine.
Camille,
that's what I'll do.
Stay on the phone, and if we get another call, you can join in the conversation. As a matter of fact, you can weigh in as a North Carolina person, because you're in the heart of the red states there. So we're going to talk about some stuff, and you stay on the phone, and we'll go with it. Apropos of which, I want to remind people that the phone number here at the studio is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. It's listed in the Facebook ad that I posted earlier, the announcement about the show. And we have switchboard operators standing by. Tonight's subject was going to be, hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Oh. Was that another caller?
No.
Or maybe it was one of our operators. Anyway, I wanted to just address this. Everybody. Everybody, I just wanted to address this one thing. We some weeks we do recipes and kitchen and household tips and everything. But I think that, you know, and I get mail from all of you listeners every week on my private messaging on Facebook and on my Hotmail address and everything. And when we have gone into escapist topics, many of our listeners say, no, everything is so outrageous right now. You have to address those things. We like to hear what you think about whatever is going on in Washington and with the COVID and the quarantine and the budget and everything. So I dragged, kicking and screaming, like Al Pacino. They drag me back in The Godfather. They're dragging me back in to the strife that we have. And that's fine, because we should pay attention to these political issues. This week, apropos of our beloved Gwendolyn, who lives in Florida, we have been listening, those of us who pay attention to the news, to complete denials from Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, that there is a crisis, that safe distancing and mask wearing, they're unnecessary, they're interfering with people's personal rights, this is against their constitutional, blah, 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 Bill of Rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone is coming up with the most bizarre theories that it's good for us to breathe air that is infected with COVID because that boosts our immune systems. it's just shocking. It's just shocking. Everything but braying at the moon and eating, garlic cloves, at 3 a.m. Just the strange superstitions that are coming, I'm sorry to say, mostly from the South. Mostly from Appalachia and the South and everything. And, of course, lo and behold, after these weird rallies and these things going on, suddenly there are spikes of COVID infection. Not only infection, but deaths are happening. And so we went through this in New York, which, of course, in many ways is the center of the universe and was the center of COVID and was the center of AIDS when it first started. And so we had time ahead of time to know what to do, to learn what to do. We consulted with experts. We did everything we were supposed to do. Thank God we have a governor who, whatever you think of him, is mostly an intellectual and mostly interested in intellectual and intelligent pursuits of fact. He is not given to superstition or weird, stuff. So, and maybe he talks too much. Maybe he has an hour long or 2 hour long press conference on TV every day, but that is informative. If you tune in and you want to watch it, there it is. You've got the latest information on what's going on. Okay. Florida under Governor DeSantis has been completely disregarding everything. There have been, people are at the beach, people are not safe distancing, people are not wearing masks, people are partying and drinking and dancing and blah, 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 blah. And lo and behold, they've had a spike, a huge spike, which is so bad now, so bad that even the climate deniers, the science deniers, the flat worlders, the idiots like Governor DeSantis, even idiots like him, finally are having their noses rubbed in the horrible factual statistics of the infection rate. Their medical experts, their emergency workers, their nurses and doctors, all of their support staffs are being exposed to a flood of patients coming in with COVID. And why? Not because they didn't know what the protocol was, because New York and Connecticut and Oregon and Washington were in the forefront of those. No, we learned that weeks ago and started trying to spread the word. Now, Florida is going through it because they are stupid. They are governed by an idiot. Okay, so if you don't believe me, check him out. Check DeSantis out tonight on a press conference. He is aged 30 years in 7 days. He looks not only like an old man, he looks like an old man sleeping in an alley. I saw him on the news this morning, and he was literally an unwashed, rumpled bag man. And I must tell you that I can't wish this same fate fast enough on Abbott of Texas, on Butt Poke, whatever his name is, in Oklahoma, Governor Butt Poke or whatever. I can't wish it enough. I don't know why McConnell has not gone the same route of Kentucky, Senator McConnell. But definitely, DeSantis looks the worse for wear, and he's been denying all of this stuff. Apropos of Camille Beauchamp being on the phone, Camille, how are you finding things in the western half of North Carolina? You're in western North Carolina.
I'm western North Carolina, right near –
Yeah.
Right,
I'm going to put Jimmy on the phone because Camille is, she's tired.
Camille, come on, you tell us.
Well, Camille has a much different aspect than Jimmy. But anyway, she's just
she likes
very
to think of nice things like mint juleps
and she's very taken with
these.
She's very taken with these country boys who don't wear masks. You see, and the thing is, they're wonderful kids, but they're very stupid. And anyway, North Carolina has finally awakened because there were many, many people who were walking around without masks. And it's so self-evident, really, isn't it? I mean, if you don't want to die, you wear a mask. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But they weren't wearing masks because they were trying to assert their individuality. And their right to life, liberty, and freedom, and the pursuit of idiocy, you know, whatever. And the thing is, so they weren't wearing masks, and lo and behold, North Carolina started to spike. Well,
yes. Yeah.
They woke up in time because of what you poor guys in New York or New Jersey went through. We watched, and so now everyone must wear a mask when you go into a store, and if you go to a public place, you can go to a public place. You have a mask on, and they take your temperature before you go in to see if you have a fever or anything. So they have awakened, and so the latest information I saw today on YouTube was that the North Carolina is now not included in the spikes because they thank goodness. Oh my God! I mean, it was unbelievable, and I don't even want to share the demographic with you about who is doing this, but it's people who live in the country up in the hills, they don't think that they have to wear the masks, and so they come down and there they are with their families and their relatives, and they're running around and there they are, but most of the people now are wearing masks. And it's against the law to go into a public in North Carolina to go into a public place without a mask. So that's
well,
good.
less people, listeners tonight, think that Mummy is a chauvinist about New York City and New York State, and that everyone else is dumb and New York is the most wonderful place and brilliant and uniformly excellent. I just want to tell you, I was out on Fire Island, and last week I went out, and I was passed within 10 minutes of landing on the island. And the island has no cars. The most of Fire Island is boardwalks and small towns that are cottages. And there are only cars on the far ends of the island, each end of the island, 37 miles long. At the very tip of each end is a bridge, and there cars are allowed there in those tip towns, but nowhere else in the center of the island. Anyway, so on these boardwalks, I was passed within 10 minutes of landing in Fire Island from the ferry from Long Island by a gang of 10 to 12 tweens or millennials or 20-year-olds. They were all young. They were all under 25 years of age. There wasn't a 25-year-old among them. They were 21, 18, 19, whatever. There were about 10 to 12 of them. They were all races, white, black, brown. They were straight. They were gay. They were men. They were women. The only thing they did not have in common was they were all not carrying tambourines, but there definitely was. I mean, it was like a band of gypsy minstrels dancing and yowling and hoo-haing and hoo-hoo-hoo. And as I said, gay, straight, whatever you want to call it, all races, everything. And one of them had a mask around his neck, and the rest had no mask anywhere, not even carrying a mask.
Yep.
And here they were on those narrow little boardwalks, dancing and skipping and coming towards Mummy. I had a mask on, and I was only sorry that I didn't have a bulletproof shield around my head like a cone of silence from the Get Smart show, because they converged on me. And I thought, and I'm not a germaphobe, by the way. Mummy worked in a hospital. I've had my hands in bedpans. I'm not a germaphobe. But it was shocking to me that they were bouncing off each other and bouncing off people that they were passing on the boardwalk with no concern. They then passed me and went about 25 feet and then converged on a house that is notorious as a party house, so-called, on the bay there. And that is where a lot of people are always going, coming, going, coming, going for parties at 3 in the morning. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this was in the mid-afternoon. So I went to the grocery store. I bought some groceries. I came out. I was passed by another gang of millennials. Again, the same demographic, but different people, not the same one. A different group doing the same thing. By the end of the day, by 6 that evening, I had been passed by a total of four gangs of COVID deniers. They were all mixed race, mixed age, mixed gender specific, mixed sexual orientation. It was like, what is going on? What is going on? And since I've been on Fire Island, since that time, we have all been commenting, us oldsters, and Camille, I won't give away your age, nor yours, Gwendolyn, but people of our generation have been shaking our heads sadly over the fact that most of the people not doing this, not wearing masks, not practicing social distancing, safe distancing, not doing all of these protocols are young. And I find it fascinating. Because you rarely see an older person not wearing a mask and being obstinate about it. You can find them on YouTube. You can find some of the like little.
You can find them in North Carolina too.
Yeah,
the older
really.
People. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, not so much
they're
here.
They're getting fewer. They're getting fewer and fewer.
But they're dying.
By the way, I talked to people in New York, some friends of mine who were so proud that they weren't wearing masks. Oh, you should have heard them. I mean, so stupidity has no geography. I mean, yes, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm proud to say I haven't had to put a mask on yet. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's very nice, you know. And I wonder how many people you've infected. But anyway, you know.
Yes, exactly. It's like, okay, so you're fine, you know, but what about the person that you infected? It's like this whole – Gwendolyn and I talked about this last week, Camille, about the fact that this was prefigured. This whole mask thing and COVID thing has been prefigured on Law and Order episodes 3 years ago, 4 years ago, with the whole vaccination thing. Well, I don't want to get my child vaccinated because he could grow a third thumb. My child might grow an eye. That mump vaccine is the work of the devil. Did Jesus invent a needle? You tell me, did our beloved Savior ever give a hypodermic needle to Mary Magdalene? No, he did not. He didn't go around giving shots to people. That's the devil's work. It's like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And, of course, the people who have not vaccinated their children against measles and mumps and everything, then their children carry measles into a school and some other child gets it. Or a mother who's pregnant gets it. It's like, this is ridiculous. We have already been exposed to the whole, it's my right to be stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's what our Constitution guaranteed. That's certainly what James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were struggling for, was a document. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were made so that people could be free to be as stupid and ignorant and flat-worlding as possible. That was the whole American experiment.
Unless it affects someone else's life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness.
Exactly.
You know? And the thing is, it's not your right to be stupid if you're putting someone else in danger.
Exactly, Jimmy. Sorry, Camille.
Thank you. My voice is dropping. I'm so sorry. But absolutely.
No, but
absolutely.
It's so true. Their rights end at my nose. Your right to have measles ends at my nose.
Absolutely.
You know, and of course, in your case, Camille and Gwendolyn, I think all three of us were probably sent to measles parties and chickenpox parties. I know I was. You know, it was like, oh, Stacy has the measles. Get Sybil over there right now. Lemonade and brownies for everybody. It was like, do you remember that? There were measles parties where all the children were exposed at once, so it would be done.
No, I didn't know this.
You didn't have those? You didn't get exposed to that?
Well, no, I was born in a slum in Newark. I don't think they did that.
Well, it's that. Okay, I thought you were born in a trunk in Pocatello, Idaho, but that's another story and another song. No, Gwendolyn, you remember hearing about measles parties and everything, don't you?
No, darling, I was in, you know, little nun school.
Perhaps a generational
it was,
thing.
It was very popular in the 30s, 40s, and
50s. I do know it.
Sort of up to the 60s, but by the 60s, medical people were beginning to say, isn't it weird? Measles hit the Ferguson house, and Mrs. Ferguson gave birth to a seriously compromised baby 3 months later. And they began to draw parallels between measles, mumps, chicken pie, whatever. And they said, wait a minute, this is turning out to be a disaster. Not only is it causing serious birth deformities, but it was killing babies. It was killing fetuses. And so they started to say, we've got to stop this from happening.
Well, what movie star? That happened to some movie star. Gene Tierney or not Gene? Somebody.
That was an Agatha Christie, The Mirror Crossed Inside
Your
Side.
Yes, but that was based on somebody real.
It was based on a real story, yes.
Well, I will say
that's based on a real story.
In our la-di-da neighborhood that I grew up in, because of just that, a little boy was born. I'm looking for the PC for mentally, what they used to call mentally retarded, but a backward kid, and Wayne was very backward.
Right.
Because of this. This is what happened a great deal. And I remember that in our neighborhood.
Yes.
And it was called.
I think that I just Googled it, and the movie star that it was based on, The Mirror Cracked, was an Agatha Christie murder mystery based on a movie star who had been exposed to measles and who lost her child, and then she committed the murder. And of course, the actress involved was Zazu Pitts. Interestingly
enough. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Back during her very beautiful, lush days, when she was a great siren of the silent screen, she was infected with measles. Yes, and she did not lose the baby. The baby was born, and the baby grew up to be Linda Hunt. So there you go.
Oh, mommy.
Well, you know,
a very bad lady tonight. This is one of my bad lady nights. From now on, we're going to have a bad lady warning for listeners, and people should be told ahead of time by the producer that Sybil Brunson goes off on strange jags about Zazu Pitts and poor Linda Hunt. There's a bad lady warning. It's graphic violence and bad lady warning. That's how it should be.
We
Linda Hunt will never forgive
so
me.
Bad.
Never forgive me.
We talk about so bad. It's enchanting that we can get together and listen to Mummy.
I swallowed another piece of my whiskey the wrong way.
Well, Gwendolyn was just reminded me of something when she said she was looking for the right term, the PC term. Well, when we were children, we didn't have any of that. And I remember a bus coming around to take the kids to their special school. And on the side of the bus, in big red letters, it said, "Cripple Children's Bus." It's
like, are you kidding? Crippled children on the bus?
He's not kidding. Because in Florida, they had a bus that said mentally retarded children on board type of thing.
No, that's terrible.
Yes, we're so.
Well, you know,
so
I don't know why I'm criticizing, because I grew up in a very, very, very select place, part of Boston, and my family was European, but we came to this country and just in time for my birth, and we grew up in a very select place in Boston, and we had a bus that went around in the mornings for preschool and everything, and it said children with very bad table manners. And this was considered to be very disgraceful. And my grandmother used to go out on the front steps throw baked beans at the bus and ward it away and say, "Away, children, away. Do not come near my beautiful granddaughter, Sybil Brunson, whose table manners, even at 1 year of age, her table manners are impeccable, and she holds her fork in her left hand." And she said that bad children, she warned me when I was naughty sometimes, She would say, if you're naughty, you will go on the bad table manners bus, and that's where you will go. And that would frighten me very badly. That and the fact that Santa might not bring me something from Van Cleef and Arpels. But that was a whole different subject. What can we talk about? What should we talk about? Camille, are you cooking a lot at home?
Excuse me?
Are you a good cook?
Oh, I'm terrible. I could burn water.
I could burn water.
I'm terrible. But John, the wonderful person I live with, is an excellent cook. Yes, he's wonderful.
What's his specialty?
Anything he reads out of Lydia's Best Kitchen books or Test Kitchen.
Oh, I love Lydia. Test Kitchen. Don't you?
Oh, I love her. She's going bald, but she's lovely.
It's funny you mention that because Camille, she's not going bald now. She was when she started. They don't play her reruns from 6 years ago ever. You never will find an old episode of Lydia because her first few years, they had no budget to groom her. So she was like literally a hank of hair stuck on a skull, and then she was making this amazing food. But, I mean, it was appalling. So she's really gotten her life together. I mean, she's wearing a Cartier watch as she's kneading dough. She's wearing cashmere sweater sets from St. John. You watch her make bolognese sauce, and she's literally in $7,000 worth of cashmere.
I know.
She's still safe like Jabba the Hutt, but she is in cashmere. You know, she's a dumpling.
She's got a wonderful hairdresser. She's lovely. Yes. She makes three hairs seem like 30, you know.
I love her, and I love Ina Garten. I love the two of them.
Oh, I don't know
I can't watch Christopher Kimball on Milk Street. I just can't watch him.
I don't know who that is.
He was the guy that used to be – he's the nerd that used to be on America's Test Kitchen.
I don't like him at all.
He was the one with the glasses and nerdy. But I love Bridget
and
Julia.
Him.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I hated him.
Anyways, it does. But I adore Julia and Bridget on America's Test Kitchen and Country Home Cooking, whatever it is. And I have this fantasy that they're lovers. I want them to become girlfriends. They're wonderful girlfriends, and I think they should just ditch their husbands and marry each other. They're absolutely wonderful. Wonderful. And that's one thing about this whole COVID crisis is that everyone's watching the food channels now, Home Improvement and food channels. I wish I'd bought stock in them because they're absolutely – they're the biggest – draw for people to watch. They simply watch food all day, and then they watch those home shows like Good Bones, which is the mother and daughter team that are rebuilding Indianapolis without Mike Pence's knowledge. And then what's the other one? Hometown, which is the husband and wife team that are buying up all these houses in Laurel, Mississippi, and redoing them. And then every week they do a new home from the ground up and then sell it. And it's like they're rebuilding this little town called Laurel, Mississippi, which was a real backwater. I mean, it was a dump. And they are turning this little town into a dream come true. It's amazing. So people like us who are trapped at home are watching these. You know, I mean, Florida, Gwendolyn lives in Florida, so she can go out 365 days a year. She wasn't homebound. But for those of us in the Northeast, and Camille, you were up until a point, a certain point, when it's cold weather, I mean, you're stuck inside. And with the quarantine, you just end up watching TV and cooking all day.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we were doing until we finally got some summer weather. I became an expert on home improvement and aluminum siding and recipes that you could do with steel wool and Elmer's glue. There's a lot of fiber in steel wool.
Mommy, you have a caller, just to let you know.
Okay, Camille, stay on the line because you might want to add to this. Hello, caller. Who's our caller tonight?
Oh, it's Pamela.
Pamela, I'd like to introduce you to Camille. Camille, this is Pamela. And, of course, you know Gwendolyn. Pamela, how are you tonight?
I'm well, but I'm listening to all of this stuff going on, and you're mentioning all these wonderful cooking shows, but you forgot the best one was Two Fat Ladies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, two fat ladies, and they were wonderful. Even though they were British, they still tried to make nice food.
They did. They did.
You know, they were killed in the fiery motorcycle and sidecar crash a few years ago. It was very sad. And they were doing the closing credits on one of their episodes, and they drove into like a creamsicle truck and were instantly. It was horrible. I love the food that Pamela. Do you remember the food they would make, the recipes?
Oh yes, yes.
They made British food. They made British food, which was troubling for Americans. But the British food is not only troubling, but the words they use for it, like bubble and squeak, and Mrs. Dalrymple's snot pie, and things like that. and they would make it with turnips and yarrows and things that were found like underneath trees and stuff, and then they would saute them and put a sprinkling of topsoil on them and then serve them to local firemen or something. I mean, but every week you wanted to like them. It's just that did you ever make any of their recipes?
Oh yeah. I have the complete box set and all of their cookbooks.
But did you make their food?
Oh yeah.
And did you serve it to people you liked?
Scotch eggs and all.
Pamela, I'm curious. I never think of you as a poisoner. But I mean, perhaps you have some Medici in your background. Are you one of the Borgias, my dear? I'm curious. I would have assumed that any of their recipes would be used to exterminate people.
Oh, no. Especially like the apple pan dowdy that they made.
Oh,
was delicious.
Yeah. And then
it's interesting you
salad.
Said that, because I used to call my French teacher Apple Pam Dowdy because she was so homely. But I want you to do me a favor, Pamela. I want you to go to that set tonight. I want you to find something. Apple Pam Dowdy is easy to like. I want you to find a recipe that's weirder that they made that you tested yourself and liked. And I want you to post it on Sybil Brunchen's Lollipop Guild. As a matter of fact, we call Fridays on the Lollipop Guild Food Fridays. So I want you to make an effort to post a recipe. Take a photograph of it. You don't have to type it out. Take a photograph and then post it on the Lollipop Guild page every Friday. And let's do July will be the month of the two fat ladies recipes. I'm going to try some of them. I'm going to try one, but I want to really see
if the bubble and squeak is delicious.
The bubble and squeak is delicious?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Bubble and squeak is just potatoes. So it's potatoes and onions and cabbage, and it's a scant amount of butter.
Pamela, onions and potatoes, dreamy. A pat of butter in there, yes. And then you said cabbage. Do you see, honey, I just farted when you said the word cabbage. Okay, and you're all laughing, and now I'm going to admit something. I, as Sybil Brunchen, am going to admit something. You said pat potatoes and onions. I thought, lovely, and a pat of butter. Yes, and then you said cabbage, and I didn't fart. I sharted. I'm sitting in my own poop right now. I'm conducting a show on live podcast, and I actually have had a poo-poo on the accident.
Don't tell her about the two fat ladies breakfast.
Oh yeah, right.
See, and there's another one now. There you go. So now I have to sit here unsanitary doing the end of the show. We've got 12 more minutes of this show, and I'm sitting in a poo-poo undie, as Madeline Kahn said on Young Frankenstein.
But sweet,
Young Frankenstein
kinda,
with you, oh honey the you, that hampers for the poo-poo undies.
You got a piece of whiskey.
I do need another piece of whiskey. But Pamela, I want you to share recipes that are good, that are really tasty. And you know what? Post bubble and squeak. I'll try it. I'll try cooking it. I really will.
You know, it's good because you cook it in a cast iron skillet, it gets nice and crusty, and it's just the reason why it's called bubble and squeak is because of the sound it makes as it's cooking.
Oh, please. It's the sound that your dinner guests make after they've eaten it. That's the end of conversation an hour later. All you hear is bubbling and squeaking. Speaking of recipes, I want you to know that Mummy made the best pesto I have ever made in my life this past week and used it in some recipes. And then I made my own risotto, and I made a wonderful risotto. And then I did something that I love doing, and I think good cooks always do. Camille, your John probably does this too. Leftovers, reimagining and reinventing and repurposing leftovers into something that's even more delicious than the original recipe. I did risotto cakes last night.
In my day, the leftovers were just made into soup.
Well, that's very Mediterranean. The Italians and the French always were taking things and using them in soups and making them great. Bubble and Squeak is fit only to use as spackle. Leftover, it should be used to repair leaks in Arkansas rooftop. You know, like you got a tin roof, you got a washing machine on the back porch, and your Chevy's on cinder blocks. Here's some leftover Bubble and Squeak to seal up that leak in the living room or in your outhouse. It's like, oh my God, my God.
Dear God,
don't you remember? Dear lady. Don't you remember that poor child from Beautiful Thing who burned the Bubble and Squeak and he got beaten?
No.
On that movie, Beautiful Thing. Little Stee. Oh, he was so adorable. And he burned the Bubble and Squeak.
Was that on the Hallmark Channel by any chance?
Oh,
was it,
by the way.
Was it a Walton Family Christmas special?
No.
Why, Jim Bob, you burned the Bubble and Squeak? Come over here and bring that rug beater.
No.
It was
that lovely.
I'll tar your feathers for you.
It was the English movie with the two boys in it. This lovely movie.
The English movie with
well,
the two,
you know, Beautiful
down.
Thing. Beautiful Thing. With the two boys.
Yeah.
It was
uh-huh.
lovely. But anyway, his father kept beating him up because he burned the Bubble and Squeak. And it was
it was
so sad. But he never had to eat it anyway. So that was good. And I wanted to tell you one thing, Mommy. You mentioned pesto. Look up arugula pesto.
Of course.
Pesto
well, yeah.
made with arugula. Have you had that?
I've done pesto with many different green
arugula
things other than
so...
basil. And my pesto that I did the other day, I did do with basil, but guess what the nut was that I used?
What?
You
didn't use pinoles.
No. And why? Because pinoles are now $49.95. for each pinole. They become so expensive that even I can't. The last set of pinoles that I bought, I took to Harry Winston and had them set in platinum and made into a necklace.
I like it made, the pesto, I like it made with pistachios.
Well, yes,
with,
I love that too.
With what?
What I did the other day was we had a jar from our gourmet shopping, our gourmet shop nearby, and I had bought a container of their assorted nuts, which were walnuts, pecans, everything. Everything was in the cashews. And I had a bunch of that, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to put that in the grinder and completely pulverize it. And I did. And I must tell you, there must have been 8 different varieties of nuts in there. Everything was in there. Hazelnuts, everything. Everything but pinoles. I made the best pesto I have ever made in my life.
Wow.
And I will never go back. I will never go back to pinoles because this pesto was dreamy with all of those different complex flavors in it. It was wonderful. So I'm going to try it, though, with arugula, and I'm going to try
arugula.
It with
oh, my
yes,
God,
spinach.
It's so good. It's
oh,
so
yes.
good.
I love arugula. Could you make pesto out of watercress, or is that too much of a sip? Water, I
well,
adore
I imagine
watercress.
You can make it. Yeah, I mean, anything green, you can make sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, you can make
I imagine that Ozzy and Harriet Nelson made their pesto out of iceberg lettuce and peanut butter. and not even Skippy, probably Jif. I'm going to try that. I'm going to tell my listeners. I've dug up a secret recipe from Ozzy and Harriet, and it was iceberg lettuce pesto with Jif peanut butter. And see how many people make it. I'm going to do that tonight after the show. I'm going to get a lot of pieces of whiskey, and I'm going to make pesto out of iceberg lettuce and just peanut butter. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. Maybe a dollop of marshmallow fluff in there, too, instead of Parmesan cheese. Why use cheese? Why not use marshmallow fluff? That'll be interesting. And I shall serve it to the neighbors, the ones that keep stomping around at night, and finish them off once and for all. Thank you, Pamela, for inspiring me to poison people I don't like. Pamela, do I have a promise from you that you're going to post two fat lady recipes on Mummy's Lollipop Guild page?
Yes, I will start this Friday.
You're an enchantress. I adore you more than anything.
Lovely.
I will do it this Friday, absolutely.
Ladies, and I use that term loosely, I've had a ball tonight. If laughter is truly anti-carcinogenic, if it really does rid our bodies of free radicals, I'm sure that I'm going to live to be at least 120 after tonight's show.
I can tell you that's true. I have. Yes. Yes, I'm here. And, yes, I've lived to 120. And,
well, Camille, I've known you for 120 years, so I think we should be more honest about both of our people. Pamela, I've only known for a short time, but I met Camille Beauchamp back during a Matthew Brady photo session, and I must tell you, and we were not children at the time. We were not children at the time. We were in Gettysburg doing dinner theater, and we were not young girls.
Yes, you were part of my company. Yes, I remember.
We were Koreans in Our American Cousin, and we were there at Ford Theater. And by the way, Nanette Fabre was our third. We were doing Chekhov, The Three Sisters, and we were
Didn't
the three
she just
sisters
pass away
in the Chekhov
recently?
Dinner Theater. What is it?
Didn't she just pass away recently, like within a couple of years?
Pamela, she was 174. Well, it was time to go. It was time to go. Oh, for heaven's sake. And Camille and I never rubbed her nose in her age. We never made her miserable about that. But and do you remember she started having plastic surgery starting in the 60s and 70s, and they kept fixing her nose. And they kept fixing it. Finally, she turned sideways profiled.
She
had no nose.
She
and that's why we used to call her No Nose Nanette.
Yes.
No Nose Nanette. No Nose Nanette. That would make her very cross. Look at the
God.
Time. Oh, for heaven's sake. For heaven's sakes.
Oh, I love you, and we will speak.
That gong, which has just been rung by our stage manager, tells us that we're just out of time. I can't believe it. Oh, Camille, Pamela,
yes, dear.
Thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for helping us to reminisce about Linda Hunt and Zazu Pitts, and, of course, No Nose Nanette, favorites. Will you promise to join me next Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time? Will you?
I will. Yes, I will.
Camille, and I will give your best to John, and I will scold him for not returning your calls.
Okay, you do that for me,
and
I will
be
there.
Give John our love. Give your John our love
Monday.
Too, by the way.
And good night to Gwendolyn and to Pamela.
Okay. All right, and good night to you, Camille.
Good
and Pamela, good night to you. Thank you for calling in.
No problem.
Thank you, Pamela.
All right, and Pamela, you make sure to get a piece of whiskey too for next Monday night when we see you, okay?
Absolutely. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night, honey. Well, what a show. What a show. This is very much like what Mummy shows were back on cable TV, much more raucous and strange. I think that we should just have people call in, and we should not discuss politics at all. That's just silly. Folks, just so you know, you have been listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by Here Be Monsters Studios and Gwendolyn Holdenberry, and by listeners like you. Thank you. If you're interested in being a sponsor of our show, do contact Gwendolyn or myself on our email addresses or on our Facebook pages. And remember, you can find us, you can find Mummy on SybilSays.com and SybilBrunchen.com and on the Facebook page, the Lollipop Guild. We will see you next week. Gwendolyn, thank you so much for a wonderful evening.
Well, thank you so much too, Mummy. It was fun.
Okay. You have a wonderful night. Good night, everybody.
Dum, 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 dum.